Chairperson Kiefer?
Here.
Vice Chair Glenn? Commissioner Bagwell? Commissioner Cassiopeia?
Here.
Commissioner Curtis?
Here.
Commissioner Lehman?
Here.
Commissioner Long?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Okay. Madam Secretary, the record will reflect that Commissioner Bagwell is absent and excused, and we wish her all the best for a speedy recovery. We're now going to go on to public comments. Any member of the public who wishes to address the Parks and Recreation Commission is welcome to do so now for 3 minutes. If you require extended time, please let us know and we'll schedule you at a later date. All right, no takers on that one. Let's go to item one, possible action on approval of minutes. Has everybody read the minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. All right, agenda item two, modifications to the agenda. The record will reflect that Commissioner Glenn is now present. We are going to do a little modification. We're going to move agenda item three, discussion on the Wanganeema House, after agenda item A, and we're going to move agenda item B to after the Wanganeema House. Right. So, let's go.
Agenda item 3A, discussion only regarding Alex.
Oh, sorry. Agenda item 3A, discussion only regarding Alex Langenham's Eagle Scout project for trail signage and other possible work at Riverview Park. This is Ann Bollinger. Ann, take it away, please.
Thank you. For the record, Ann Bollinger, Open Space Administrator. With us tonight, we have Alex Langenham. He is a student at Carson High School, is that right?
High School.
Douglas? And he is amazing. He's an amazing student, very intelligent, an amazing future ahead of him. So we are very fortunate to be working with Alex. Several months ago, he came to our department looking for our Eagle Scout projects, and he was interested in trails. And so we are continuing an effort started by another Eagle Scout project who did trail signage on two trails at Prison Hill. And so Alex will continue that project at Riverview Park. But I will introduce Alex and he can tell you more about his project.
Alex, come on down and introduce yourself, please.
Hi, my name is Alex Lanningham and I'm here today to present my Eagle Scout project at Riverview Park. So here's just a basic map of Riverview Park and all the trail systems and rivers running around it. And these are the stickers that we will be using on all of the trail marker signs to point you in all of the directions around the loops and everywhere. This is the entrance of the park. Ahead is where the north and south loop go and separate off, and to the right is just the north loop, and to the left is the south loop, or opposite of that. So when you go straight here, you will meet the north loop and the full loop. We will need one post here with three sides of stickers on each side. Here to the right is the full loop and south loop that meet up with the connector trail and the Mexican ditch trail. We'll need a sign also here with three-sided again. So here, when you go right, is the Mexican Ditch Trail system, and left is the north and south, or the full and south loop. And for this intersection, we will need one sign, three-sided with stickers. So here, the full loop is continued to the left, where it meets up with the south loop, and the south loop breaks away and goes right here, and we will need a sign here. Also a sign here where behind you is the full and south loop, and to the right is the full and south loop, and to the left is just the full loop. Once again, here to the right is the south loop, to the left is the full and south loop, and behind you is just the full loop, and we will need another three-sided sign here. Here behind you is the full loop and north loop, forward and to the left is the north loop, and we will need a sign here. Here is the full loop to the left, the full and north loop behind you, and the north loop just to the right, and we will need one sign here. Here is the other side of this intersection with the full and north loop forward, the full and full loop to the right, and the north loop behind you. And so here, when you go left, it is the full and north loop continued, and to the right is another trail system that I forgot the name of, but we will need one sign here that is three-sided. Up ahead is the entrance of the park, and we will need one sign here to show everyone back to the way. So other than the north and south loop meet up to the, go back to the entrance, every other sign will need to have three sides with stickers. There will be a total of 13 posts. We have the 4x4 post, and the date is yet to be determined. And I would like to thank Ann Bollinger and John Costello for working with me on this project and the opportunity to do this. And do you guys have any questions for me?
Thank you so much. Any questions from the commissioners?
I was just curious, the stickers, are they actually stickers that adhere to the post? Or
The stickers won't go directly onto the post, but we have a piece that we will drill onto the post that we can attach the stickers to, so okay. It'll be nice and sturdy.
Okay.
Commissioner Curtis?
I just wanted to say, I want to thank you very much. I'm sure the public looking at, they've never been there.
Mm-hmm.
It is confusing as to which way you go and if you're going to go around or you're going to go out and all of this. So it's very much appreciated. Thank you.
Commissioner Lehman?
So I'm just curious how you're going to put the 4x4 posts in the ground.
So we're going to have approximately a 2.5-foot hole, and we're just going to fill it in with dirt, no concrete, and we're going to slowly put water in and press holes in it so we get no air bubbles, and so the posts will be sturdy in the ground.
And I noticed in the explanation that the Parks and Rec Department has some of the materials you need. Do mm-hmm. they have everything you need, or will you need to purchase some additional materials?
As of right now, they have everything we need. They have gone out and bought the post, and they have them cut to the special top we would like, and we have the shovels, we have the materials to get them out there, and everything else.
Excellent. Any other questions? Commissioner Cassiopo?
How about the people power? Do you have enough people to help you out, or are you looking for help?
We should have all the people, because through the church and the scout troop, we put up signs and we have people come and help. And unless I don't, I should have all the help, but if not, then I will let you guys know.
Because Vern's available.
Okay. Wouldn't be the first one.
I just want to say thanks. It's a good addition. It's been a fair amount of time out there, and I usually just keep doing loops, so it'll be nice. I can know how to get back now. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any more questions? Again, thank you so much. This is a needed project, as Commissioner Curtis said, and we thank you. And if you do need help, please let us know.
Thank you.
Okay. Any public comment on this? All right, hearing none, we're going to move to agenda item 3C, discussion to recommend to the Board of Supervisors renewal of the Wanganeema House lease by the Foundation for Carson City Parks and Recreation Incorporated, and to recommend that the mayor sign the new lease agreement. And just so everybody knows, Commissioner Curtis, myself, and Commissioner Bagwell are all on the Parks Foundation. David, do you want to come? Jennifer?
I can introduce it.
I'm all right, please do.
Go ahead, introduce it.
Thank you so much, Chairperson, Commissioners, Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. I'm pleased to present this to you. You've heard this, you know, numerous times before. We brought this before. Is the Wanganeema House lease by the Foundation for Carson City Parks and Recreation. The Foundation is a great partner, not only for the city, but especially for our department, and they really help not only encourage the community to participate and donate to the Parks Department, which is great, but they're also able to help us with operations of this facility because we don't currently have the staff resources to be able to provide that the service that they're providing now. We currently do have a lease. The lease is in your packet, and the proposed changes are marked with track changes as well. And we're just looking at really changing basically one section, and that's the renewal clause. So that way we don't have to bring the agreement back to the Board of Supervisors every year, and it has an automatic renewal. So that's what's before you tonight. And we do have David Bugley. He's the president of the Carson City Parks Foundation to answer any questions or provide any information that you might have.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
David, you want to take it away?
I don't know what you want me. I'm David Bugley. I'm president of the Foundation for Carson City Parks and Recreation, which is shorter than the name of the old foundation, which was Foundation for the Betterment of Carson City Parks and Recreation. And we entered into this lease, I guess, about a year ago. And we basically based our lease upon the lease that the old foundation had had. We are continuing the use of this facility. We have a number of support groups that meet there. We have actually 7 support groups that meet there during the week, 2 on Mondays and 1 each on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday, there are no support groups that meet there, and these are helping people with recovery from various issues. We also are doing some open houses. We've had them, so we started, I think in May was our first one, and we are doing them pretty much monthly right now, which is actually in character. It's part of our lease agreement, actually. It's in there that we should be doing some open houses. We've been using the open houses as a way of bringing some attention to the building itself. It's of some historical nature. It was built in 1948 by Burton and Pearl Wigbema with help from Burton's father, Ernest Wigbema. And the Wigbemas were Hopi Indians. They were from the Water Clan. And we're using this. There are some features of the building that they put into their stonework. The family was involved in stonemasonry. The father, Ernest, was brought to work at the Stewart Indian School to teach the students there about stonemasonry. But the house itself reflects some of the character of the Hopi Indians, especially their clan. We feature often the fireplace. And we've had a number of members of the Wigbema family come to our open house and share experiences of meeting their grandmother Pearl and some others there. And so that it's wonderful. It's an opportunity for us to share in that bit of culture. And the building is in pretty good shape. Our tenants, such as they are, the people doing the recovery groups, they are very good about keeping the place very clean. You can go in there any hour of the day except when they're meeting, and you will not find a crumb on the floor. You will find everything cleaned up. They do all the maintenance on the inside. The Parks Department, I believe is it the Parks or Maintenance Department, is responsible for the exterior work on the building. That probably needs a little attention because I don't think much has been done since the major improvements were made in 1999-2000. But the house is in very good condition, and we appreciate being able to use it and sharing it and using it as a base for our support for the Parks Department in areas that they cannot that for various reasons they cannot be involved in. I'll just leave it at that. Any questions you want of me, I'm willing to deal with it.
Commissioner Curtis?
I just wanted to remind you, do we have an open house coming up, right?
Yes, we do have an open house coming up. We have one coming up on the 18th, and it'll be from 2 to 5. We've been doing them mostly on Sundays, 2 to 5, and we'll continue on something like that pattern, like once a month on a Sunday. It depends. We're going to try to see some of these things. I think we're going to try to overlap with other activities that are going on in Mills Park. The house itself actually kind of predates Mills Park use as a public park. It goes back to the days when it was a golf course, I believe. And we're expanding on the history of the Hopis and the Wagnema family. One of our board members is really excited about researching their culture, the culture of the family and the clan. And we're going to be putting up some displays in there, and we're going to start using the display case as soon as we find who has the key to the display case that's there, and so we can open it up and use that. We have all these little details that you get into when you're trying to run a nonprofit organization.
Questions or comments? I have a question. Maybe would this be an appropriate time? One of the research areas the foundation is looking into, are there examples of the Wanganema stonemasonry or use of their stones in buildings throughout Carson City? And perhaps we could ask those watching us tonight if they know of any examples to contact us and let us know so we can build up a list of all those buildings. And what do you think about that, David?
That would be very good. They can contact us. They can go to CarsonCityParks.org. It sounds like we are the Parks Department. We are not. But it's CarsonCityParks.org, and you can contact me there, or just send me an email to dcbugli@aol.com if you have any information.
Commissioner Curtis?
I don't know if I was seeing things, but I was on a field trip recently, and I thought I saw one of these houses or buildings in Auburn. So I mentioned it to one of the members doing the research. I have no idea why it would be there, but it sure looked like one.
David Johnson, who is this is David Bugley again. David Johnson, who is the our expert on these things, he has some background in archaeology and seems to be able to recognize some characteristics of the. Of the masonry work that they did. A lot of their work uses a special type of a grout, which is not very common, which seems to be characteristics of some of their buildings.
Great. No more questions or comments? This is an action item, correct? All right. So would somebody like to make the motion?
I move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors renewal of the Wanganema House lease by the Foundation for Carson City Parks and Recreation Incorporated, and to recommend that the mayor sign the new lease agreement.
I'll second.
Well, looks as though we have 2 seconds. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The motion carries. David, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you for your time and your efforts, everybody.
I just wanted to let you know, too, this will go to the Board of Supervisors at the December 15th meeting.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right. Moving on. Vern, you want us to hold your item for a little while longer?
Please.
Absolutely. All right. Then in that case, let's move on to staff updates, discussion only. 4A is discussion only regarding the status on the use of Carson Connect by Steve. Steve, all you.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, good evening. For the record, Steve Brunner, Deputy Director for Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Department. You might recall at the last commission that Commissioner Bagwell had mentioned the Carson Connect, the Carson City's customer service initiative that was rolled out in approximately September of 2015, and I'm sure all the commissioners are well familiar with that tool. However, the public may not be familiar with it, so I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, make the public aware of that tool, as well as update the commissioners on some updates that we've recently made to this asset. And basically it was rolled out as a means for the city to engage with city officials. That's a much easier way of doing so, as we're pretty much, I would think it's safe to say that most Americans are walking around with some sort of smartphone on them, and it's a great way using an app that they can download from iPhone App Store or any other app store, depending on what phone that they might be using, to interact with city officials and make them aware. Well, first of all, they can seek out information with the city, and as well as report problems that they may encounter when they're out walking around, leaks or other things of that nature. Up until recently, however, the Parks Department has made very limited use of that app of the Carson City Connect, and staff has recently managed to update that and provide a little bit more information in there. Prior to that, they had access of getting information regarding the ice rink and bicycle route maps and facility rentals and a way of finding parks, but there was no way for them to interact with staff, park staff, and make us aware of any problems that they might encounter within our parks infrastructure. But I'm happy to say that we have recently updated that to include the following topics on the frequent asked questions that they can access: illegal dumping, open space, open space, abandoned vehicles. So it's a way for them to report any abandoned vehicles that they may find and may encounter any open space. Lone Mountain Cemetery, buildings such as brick and mortar. We're talking the pool. We're talking the community center. We're talking the MAC, as well as irrigation, watering in our parks, playgrounds in our parks, trails, trees, and anything outside of that, that would fall under the parks and open space other. So if you were to go to, on your Carson City Connect app on your phone, you would find those topics listed on there. So we've recently updated that, and I just want to make sure that all the Carson City residents were aware of that, because it is a great way of interacting with us, because I know that it's very difficult a lot of times for residents to pick up the phone and try and make contact with staff. This way, using the app, they can do that from the comforts of their own home 24/7, and they can access us to either retrieve information or report problems. And I have pulled another great thing about it is it's easy for us to track what services that we're providing to the public. If they call and report a water leak in one of our parks with irrigation, then we can track that through the app as well. It's a way for us as well to correspond with them. So it's not just a matter of, okay, they report the problem and then it's all said and done. No, we're actually going to get back to them and let them know that, thank you for letting us know. As I mentioned before, we rely on the public. I didn't quite understand that when I first got here, that, that I was getting a lot of complaints about different things, but I realized really quickly that complaints are actually a good thing, because we can't be everywhere at all times, and so we really do rely on the public to let us know when there are problems in our, in our facility, so that we can take immediate action to correct these problems. So we really do rely on them. So I've pulled some recent reports, and I'm finding that currently at the moment, I'm assuming it's probably a lack of education and knowledge, that they're just not aware of it, because it's not getting a whole lot of use right now at the moment. Whereas parks, or as it were, public works is getting quite a bit of use out of it. And I'm sure that a lot of the residents have probably tried to report some of the problems in our parks, but were unable to do so because we didn't have those topics at the time when they rolled this out last year and earlier this year. But I just want to make them aware that they do have that ability to do so now. Barring any questions, that's all I have.
Any questions? I have a question. Have we thought about maybe doing a small press release for the Nevada Appeal or Carson Now, explaining that we now are part of Carson Connect, so to speak, and that anybody with a question or concern, feel free to use it?
Good question, Madam Chair. I do know that the city manager, when this was first rolled out in September of last year, did put an article in the Nevada Appeal. So, but it probably wouldn't hurt to, you know, maybe put another one out and just make them, you know, remind them of that.
So much.
On that same line, have we advertised on our electronic board right out front here? I know I myself drive by that board about 8-9 times a day, so it does get a lot of views.
I would agree. I'm sure that's easy enough to do.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, so who answers them? I mean, do you have dedicated staff in the department?
Looks like looking at them.
Good question again. Yeah, you are looking at them. So depending on what the topic is, I've assigned different staff members to receive those requests or complaints and concerns, and then that individual will be responsible for tending to that particular request.
Commissioner,
how good is the communication kind of between departments? So, for example, if somebody entered in something about watering that they thought was a park, but in reality it was public works, does that get relayed to them pretty easily, or could that get lost?
So, Commissioner Long, it's funny you should mention that, because that actually has happened. Like I said before, the parks had those topics where the city could report problems. A lot of those problems that you just mentioned, in particular water leaks, would go through public works. And, of course, if they weren't big water leaks, if it was a water leak in one of our parks, a drip irrigation or something like that, clearly that's something that falls under the purview of the Parks Department. And so then they would forward that request over to us, and then we would have it for action at that time.
I do, actually. Could this Carson Connect be used as a tool in predicting what features the residents in Carson would like in their parks and recreation facility, do you think, or is that not an option?
Well, they could use it to communicate any way that they see fit, really. I mean, they could submit something under the other parks and open space other and communicate with us that way, telling us what they would like to see, for example. It's not really designed for that purpose, but I don't see why a resident couldn't use that feature for that purpose.
Much. Any other questions, comments? Commissioner Long?
So would it be possible also to make it transparent so that, like as a user, you can see what the active things are being worked on? So it maybe would help, so where you wouldn't get bombarded with the same issue, or maybe you haven't been bombarded yet. But I imagine once it's working as you'd like it to, there would be a lot of redundant questions. So I was just looking kind of as you were mentioning it, I was going through it myself. And it's broken down pretty well, and the search works pretty good, which I like. But I could see where if everybody, for example, the summer, there was a roundabout that had a pretty good sized water leak in it. So if 40 people drove by it and all 40 people did what you've asked them to do, then a lot of redundancy that maybe could be avoided. But I don't know if that's something that could be added.
Yeah,
it's just a recommendation, I guess, at this point. But.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I don't believe there's a way to do that now. I mean, there could be, and I'm just not aware of it. But as far as I'm aware, there's not a way to post something out there on that app. So if somebody was to submit a redundant request, that it would make them aware that it's already been reported and being worked on. It would come in as a separate request, and then the staff would then have to address that citizen as well to let them know that, you know, of course, I don't mind redundancy. I'd rather them, you know, not think that it's been reported and go ahead and report it. So at least we're aware of it and we can take action on it. Because it's as simple as just returning a quick email through that feature and letting them know that thank you and we have it for action. We'll get it fixed right away. And I'll just as a side note, just say that generally we have about 7 days in order to fix the problem, and we've done well up until recently. We haven't done so well, but I'm happy to say that since we've updated the Carson Connect, that we have fixed all the problems that's been reported to us within that 7-day limit. And it's also, I should just add that once the problem has been resolved and staff gets back to them to let them know that's been resolved, they then will receive a follow-up survey asking, you know, asking them how they felt the service was. And so far, the few that we've gotten have all been superb. So.
Excellent. Thank you so much. All right. Any public comment? All right. And hearing no public comment. To agenda item B, discussion only regarding the status of this season's ice rink. Steve, this is you again.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Commissioner Curtis, I know that this was one that you wanted to come back and it was withdrawn and you weren't really sure about why it was withdrawn from the last commission. Basically, just to kind of bring you up to date as to why it was withdrawn from the last meeting is that we had some fiscal and safety concerns. And we found a way to make it work, essentially. You know, given we understand that's an endearing aspect of the season, holiday season, and I've had an opportunity now to see it firsthand just how much the citizens of Carson City really like the ice rink. And I have some numbers here, and I'll report to you here shortly where we're at on the update and how many citizens have used it. But especially with the downtown project, the completion of the downtown project, we found this is really a great way to kind of finish that downtown project off with that ice rink. And I know that this ice rink has been going on now since 2008, the 2008-09 season. But there's some problems associated with that, and I'm just going to kind of go through those. The first one is, like I mentioned, is safety issues. There's a number of safety issues. In particular, first and foremost, is the dasher boards. And those are the boards, that, of course, that encompass the ice rink itself. And you have a lot of people that may not be as proficient as others in ice skating, and then they tend to use those dasher boards to hang on to. And just to make you aware, and I'm sure you're probably already familiar, but just in case you're not, as well as the public, that the equipment that we're currently using for the ice rink, we purchased used to begin with. And I couldn't even tell you exactly how old the equipment is. I know that we purchased it used, and we've had it since the 2008-09 season, so it's even older than it was, and there's been a lot of problems associated with that as a result, causing a lot of maintenance. But the dasher boards in particular are the highest concern because of after multiple use of putting screws in those dasher boards and taking them out, and then the contraction and expansion due to the weather is caused cracks in those dasher boards. And we're concerned, staff is concerned that somebody might end up getting hurt using those dasher boards. So that was the first one. The second one was the not as much of a safety concern, but the glycol tubing that's used to make the ice and freeze the water that we put on it and make ice. It wasn't really designed for the ice rink. Those were pretty much homemade tubes, and there's been problems associated with that. Every year they're rolled up at the completion of the ice rink. They're rolled up, they're put in storage, and then you have to unroll them. And of course, you're talking about unrolling plastic tube that needs to lie flat in order to make ice, and that ice needs to rise above the surface of those tubes. Otherwise, as you would imagine, so all it's going to take is one ice skater to cut those tubes, and now you have glycol all over the place. So unrolling those, and then there's problems with the kinks in them, and then they're having to cut them and resplice them back together again. So the tubes are just not the tubes that were designed for an ice rink. And then last but not least really is the chiller that's out there that's pushing the glycol through all those tubes. It's old as well. It had a lot of problems with breaking down last season, and then our staff having to go out there on multiple occasions to repair that. So the equipment is used and aging. It's becoming a source of a problem that we can't say how much longer this equipment is going to last. I also mentioned the fiscal concerns that we have. And I know that this was mentioned in the last staff report that all the commissioners received, and you would have read through this, so the numbers, I'm sure, are not surprising. But, you know, since the 08-09 season, the about $647,000 approximately has been spent to operate this ice rink. That number, of course, does include the original purchase price of the ice rink equipment. But I know that, you know, we do have a mandate to cover all our direct costs, but I'm here to tell you that we're not doing that. And I know that that's been mentioned to you before in the past by other staff members, but, you know, past costs versus current costs, what's been reported to you in the past were the costs of the operation of the ice rink, and those were all accurate costs. However, what those costs did not reflect were the setup and the teardown of those costs, which involved staff time. Staff time as well as materials and resources, and it's pretty costly. And when you factor in those costs of the setup and the teardown, the staff time and all that, and materials, on top of the operational costs of the ice rink, we're left in the red every year, essentially. So it is quite an expense to operate this ice rink. And again, I am not trying to say that we need to do away with the ice rink, because, again, I understand, you know, just what a good thing this is for the city. But it does come at a cost. And eventually somebody, you know, has to make that Board of Supervisors, I'm assuming, is going to have to make that decision that at some point here in the near future, are we in the ice rink business or are we not? Because if we are, it's going to come at a cost. Or at least if we continue the ice rink the way that we're currently doing now. And I have researched some ways that I think that, of course, I'm not going to know until the end of the season, but I will tell you this, that at the end of this season, you will have a true cost of exactly what this ice rink is costing the city, because I am keeping count of every single penny, all staff time, as well as, and I'll go through the figures here as well, something that hasn't been recorded in the past is, how much water does it take to make this ice rink? And I have those figures for you as well. But it's pretty staggering, and we're going to have to make a decision here in the near future. Either we're going to have to go in a different direction, or we're just going to have to do away with the ice rink altogether, which I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. But as I said, every cent will be accounted for this year, and I will report that back to you at the next commission, because the ice rink will have ended then, and I'll have about a week turnaround time from the time that we stop operations on the ice rink. Matter of fact, when I report back to you, excuse me, we will still be tearing down the ice rink and returning the Carson Nuggets parking lot back to its original condition, hopefully. So this year's operation, the budget is the same as it was last season, which is $77,000, and that's what we have to work with for the operation of the ice rink. We started immediately after the Nevada Day weekend on October 31st. We finished making ice on Wednesday, November 23rd. I'll tell you that this season, of course, I don't have any reference because I wasn't here in previous seasons, but just talking to the staff that have been here in previous seasons have said that this season is probably the best that it's gone as far as the setup of the ice rink. You know, of course, we had really good weather as well. And, of course, every season that they do this, they get better and better. They get more efficient at it. They find ways to make, you know, to cut – I don't want to say cut corners, but cut corners in a good way of making it, of saving time, saving money. And so that is definitely going to help for sure. The grand opening was Saturday, November 25th, which was one day later than last year. And we did that on purpose because in previous years, the grand opening has always been on, well, the soft opening has been on a Wednesday and the grand opening has been on a Friday. And, of course, a Friday right after Thanksgiving. Now that means, you know, my staff is having to work on family day, which are normally off. So we didn't see any harm in pushing it to the right one day. And so we did that. As well as closing it, we're going to close it on Friday, January 27th, which is historically a week earlier than in the past. And the reason why we did that is we took a look at, we went back and ActiveNet and pulled the costs or the revenue that we're bringing in for the entire season, and we found that that last week it didn't make much fiscal sense for us to keep it open for that last week, which was essentially in the past it was open for another week, that first week of February, because we just weren't making much. It was costing more for staff time than we were bringing in revenue. So we went ahead and made the decision to go ahead and end it a week earlier, not to mention the weather as well is always challenging the later on in the season. And of course, right after we close on the 27th, we're going to give staff about 2 weeks in order to return, like I said, the Carson Nuggets parking lot back to its original condition and hopefully have it back turned over to them no later than February 10th. So as of today, our current revenue since the grand opening on the 25th is $16,841. Current expense as of today is $17,583. And I'll just note that that does not include my staff and materials for setting up the ice rink. And, of course, has to be said as well that there's going to be teardown costs as well. So, as I mentioned, in February when we come back and report to you, you'll have a true cost of setup, operation, and teardown of the ice rink. Some good news we had on December 2nd for the Silver Bells tree lighting event. We had 250 skaters at that evening. And that night alone, we brought in $1,100. So that was a big evening. I mean, I can remember about 9 o'clock at night leaving your party, sir, and it was full. The ice rink was full. So clearly, everyone was enjoying themselves. And I can tell that they would hate to see the ice rink go away. There's also been seven party tunnel rentals, resulting in $350, with more scheduled. The season is pretty much packed with party rentals. So what's the future of the ice rink? Well, no future if the equipment isn't replaced. I'll just be quite honest with you. That's kind of, you know, I think I've pretty much laid that groundwork out for you. The equipment is old. It needs to be replaced. I can't promise how much longer the equipment would last if we were to keep pushing another, you know, multiple seasons with the same equipment. At some point, something's going to have to give. I have gotten a quote on new ice rink equipment. As I said, I've already, you know, I've been doing some research along the way, trying to find a way, you know, give the commission as well as the board of supervisors options. I've gotten a recent quote on brand new ice rink equipment, and it's to the tune of $246,000 for brand new ice rink equipment. I'm sure we could all agree that that's really, you know, it's unsustainable. Just as it is right now, the ice rink is losing money every year. That's the bottom line. Again, I understand it's important to the community during part of the holiday season. I understand all that. And then there's always the argument, well, it's bringing additional revenue to businesses downtown. Well, I have talked to one owner of downtown business, and that's he disagrees with that philosophy. I can't speak for all the businesses downtown, but I'm not convinced at this point that it's bringing in any additional revenue for downtown businesses. So, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe taking a poll, sending out some surveys, something like that, going around talking to all the businesses down there and getting a feel for whether or not they think that, you know, the ice rink is bringing them any additional revenue or not. So that brings me to the potential solution. Again, doing some research online, I came across a company called Gleiss, and they specialize in premium synthetic ice rinks. I know at first, when you first hear synthetic ice rink, you're thinking, you know, that doesn't sound too good. But this material, the synthetic ice, really replicates almost real ice. I've seen videos of it, and it's pretty amazing. Playing professional hockey on it, and everything else that you would expect on a real ice rink. And again, you can look this up. It's called Gleiss. And the cost for that is half of what it would cost for new traditional ice rink equipment. We're talking a cost of $123,000. So that's $123,000 in savings versus conventional equipment. Additionally, there's more cost savings here. Right now, to set up the traditional ice rink equipment takes staff 3 weeks from start to finish. Essentially, like I said, the day after Nevada Day weekend, we begin and we do not finish up until Thanksgiving. So 3 weeks to set up that ice rink that you see out there from start to finish with the traditional equipment. With this synthetic ice equipment, which essentially consists of boards that click together, as well as that, the number I gave you, $123,000, does include new dasher boards as well. And it would take 1 day to construct, to put together. So that's quite a bit of savings and staff time. Additionally, no electricity or water wasted if you're using a synthetic ice. Just to give you kind of an idea, last year's power bill was $8,717 was how much power that was used for the operation of last year's ice rink. This year's water used to date, just to construct the ice rink, 11,400 gallons of water is what it took us to construct the ice rink. That doesn't include throughout the season operating the Zamboni, which is the tank on that is 100 gallons, as well as any additional water that they lay down on the ice rink in order to maintain that as well. And I'll come back to you again in February with the final numbers on that. It's maintenance free. So speaking of a Zamboni, you wouldn't need a Zamboni because it's synthetic. So there wouldn't be any need for that. And again, like I mentioned, the ice skating experience is like on real ice with this. Of course, I haven't actually touched the synthetic ice, but I have been in contact with the company, and they have agreed to send me a sample of their product. So I'm hoping to have a sample of that maybe by the next time I come before you, so you can actually see a sample of their product, so I have a better idea of what it looks like, what it feels like. And then lastly, is it's long lasting. This material will last. He said we'll get more than a decade out of it. So that's pretty much all I have for you as far as the update. And at this time, I'll answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions, Commissioner Curtis?
Thank you very much, Steve. That's much more than really. No, it's a lot more than what I was asking for, and I really appreciate all the extra work that you've been doing. It sounds like you've really been getting into this. But it kind of reminds me of the way things were when this thing started, and I don't know if anybody else remembers, but it was kind of like another vintage. Because we went through this thing about this thing is going to cost the city, and why are we doing this, and it's disrupting business, and I mean, it's going to cost more than it's supposed to pay for itself, and it's not, and it didn't, I don't think, the first year. It was kind of like a wide margin, too. And all of this, and the thing was, is it was never set up, as I understand it, and I may be wrong, that it was going to be 100%. The idea is it attractive enough that the city wants to have it, just like any other feature that we have in any park or anything, the Fadden Plaza, anything else that we're going to do in the city to try to make it, better for us and for people coming to the city. So I think the idea is, it would be a good idea to get a feel for, how important do we think this is in terms of, especially if we're not going to be able to deal with the costs. I mean, it sounds like it's just going to get worse and worse in terms of the equipment, and the replacement is not going to be, as you say, sustainable. So maybe we will go this other way, and then things will work a little bit better. But the idea that it's supposed to pay for itself and everybody's supposed to be happy with it, I don't think that was ever determined that was going to be the case. There are still, I'm sure, businesses down there that don't like the interruption. There's other businesses that are going to swear by it. So it's just one of those things, and I really thank you very much for putting this together. I look forward to now I understand why you want to, shut it down a little bit earlier, because I thought, if we're trying to get revenue off this thing, then why are we closing it down? You'd think we'd want to run it longer, but it sounds like that would not help our situation either. So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's like anything else, you know. You know, dog parks or horseback riding, you name it. There's something that's going to go on in this town that not everybody's going to be pleased about. And on the other hand, there's a lot of people that are. So, I don't know. I just think it's kind of neat my own self. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're not going to make everybody happy in the end of the day, and I know it would make a lot of people happy to see that thing go away. But again, having seen it firsthand for myself, the use that it's getting, I can see everyone out there really enjoying themselves, and it really is an endearing part of the holiday season. And I would love if I can find a way to keep it for the city. I mean, that's my goal. I mean, I don't want to just say, yeah, it's costing too much money. The equipment's old. It's going to break soon, and we just need to, you know, do away with it. You know, if I can find a way to keep it, again, I would at least like to present the board options and then let them make the decision.
Just while you're looking into things, I mean, if there's other ways of producing more revenues, I don't know. I mean, I know we rent it out. We have parties. But, you know, maybe other towns that have these things have found other ways to come in with some more revenue. Or get more skaters out there.
Easier said than done, of course. Yeah, I know that we're going to be, you know, taking a look at fees later on in the season. But as far as the ice rink goes, that we definitely have. I've looked around the area, Reno, South Lake Tahoe, and our fees are definitely the cheapest. Even if we raised it a buck or two, I don't know if that would even that would make a difference. Quite honestly, I don't know if that would get us out of the red.
Commissioner Layman.
So I was on the board back in 2008, and yeah, Commissioner Curtis was right. There was like a mutiny in town because it was in the red, and it wasn't supposed to be a money-making business. It's a community asset. So like the swimming pool's in the red every year. The library's in the red every year. This whole department's in the red every year. But it exists to provide a community asset and an amenity to the community. One thing I like about this ice rink is it provides something for the youth to do in this town. And that's absolutely a complaint you hear, and it's partly true. So taking away this from the youth would be tragic in my mind. So we got to look for ways to make this to happen rather than say, oh, it's in the red. Well, that's what we do. We provide a community service. And for me, at least as a taxpayer, it's worth it to spend some of my tax dollars on projects that help the community out and provide things for us to do. And the ice rink's one of them. And correct me if I'm wrong, the first couple of years, we rented the equipment. I mean, this was the big issue. We didn't buy the equipment right up front, so there might be the opportunity to rent equipment again at a much lower cost than purchasing outright.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but actually that's the reason why they, you know, looking at the numbers, I think that's the reason why they made the decision to purchase the equipment, because the cost, especially the cost up front, just buying, you know, the initial investment, you're right, that, I mean, that was over $300,000, I think, just for the initial investment in the equipment. But to, you know, to rent it, I don't think that was, they just found it was more cost effective to go ahead and just purchase equipment. I think what they should have done, quite honestly, was, you know, if they're going to purchase equipment, was purchase brand new equipment, because then I think you would have gotten much longer use out of it than to buy used equipment, not knowing, you know, what it's been through, what kind of condition it's in. I think it's at the end of its lifespan now.
So I know I've advocated for years and years about, yeah, having it stay open longer, but I guess there is a point where financially doesn't make sense, but then again, it's a community service. But what about the synthetic ice? Do you use real ice skates on this, metal skates?
You do indeed. Like I said, there's actually they're playing professional hockey matches on them, and it's amazing to watch the videos. If you go to the website and you can watch the videos, and you would think, like, yeah, I mean, matter of fact, the gentleman I talked to said, yeah, the sharper the skates, the better. And you would think that the skates would tear the synthetic ice up, and there'd be shavings all over the place, but that's not the case. I mean, this has been, you know, and I have, if you wanted to read it, I brought some stuff on that as well, but 12 years of research and development in order to come up with this product. and it seems like a really good product. And again, next time I come before you, I'll actually have a sample of it so you can see it for yourself.
And they said the lifespan on that's like 10, 12 years?
Exactly.
Have you seen this stuff, Commissioner Cassio?
I haven't seen it firsthand, but I'm aware of it. And from what I understand, yeah, it reminds me of when everybody was going to synthetic grass, like for soccer. You know, people said, you know, everybody kept thinking AstroTurf, you know, green concrete. And it really turned out to be good stuff. And this is kind of interesting. I mean, you can skate on it and do those kinds of things. What jumps out at me is if we're going to do something like that, I like the idea, but I start thinking along the same lines as soccer, short-sided tournaments to attract people to the ice. You know, 3v3 type stuff. I bet you if you research that, there's groups that would get into that. And that might be a way to generate some revenue.
And you could do it in the summer.
Well, you could.
Well, and it's funny you should mention that because I'm pretty sure the inline hockey group that's using the synthetic hockey rink out at the MARV would be interested in that. And the other thing we have to look at is, you know, especially if we're going to switch to synthetic ice, does it make sense to leave it where it is at the Arlington Ice, Arlington Square there, or would it make more sense to move it to the MARV where, you know, more than just leisure skaters can get use out of it?
Question. Is there a rink with the synthetic ice anywhere near where maybe you and Jennifer could go take a tour and report back to us?
Great question. I did ask that. The company is actually an international company out of Sweden, I believe it is. They do have ice rinks in the country, just not in a local area. So I don't know how close the closest one is, but I know that they do not have one around here locally, at least.
Commissioner Lehman?
If we were go to the traditional ice, and you said it was $246,000 for new equipment, how long of a lifespan does that equipment have, the ice equipment?
Great question. I honestly do not know the answer to that. I would have to do some research on that, which I can definitely do and get back to you.
Any other questions?
What do you do for this glice? What do you do when it rains or snows? Would you either have to have it covered or have a method of removing the snow from it, or do you know how that works?
Well, like I said, it is maintenance-free, so you wouldn't need a Zamboni. As far as, you know, the rain and the snow, you just, you know, squeegee it off, shovel it off the snow, you shovel it off in the rain. If it pulls, just squeegee it off.
And if it snows right now, do they just have to shovel it off right now as it goes, or can they just bring the Zamboni on and melt it? What do they do?
They're shoveling it right now.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a couple questions and concerns. I live near the ice rink, and I walk by quite regularly, and you're absolutely correct. There's always people out there, and they always look like they're having a great time. My concern is for safety. Last Sunday when it snowed, I walked by about 11 o'clock, and none of the sidewalks were shoveled, and that seems like it's a safety issue. So I don't know if it would be our responsibility or the Nugget's responsibility, but I just have visions of someone sliding and liability and it just being ugly. So is that something maybe we could look into and take care of?
Absolutely.
And that was my only question. Anybody else? Commissioner Curtis?
I was just going to say, if this company doesn't really have anything that close, maybe they'd like to give us a discount, and we'll advertise for them.
Good suggestion. I agree.
Jennifer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioners, Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. I just wanted to clarify a couple things. I think you had great questions on a potential product. We can check references. We can call other agencies that are using that, experience it, and, you know, check it out and really vet that as a viable option or not. And we're happy to do that research. I know tonight's just discussion only, but I think it's really the start of a bigger conversation that we need to have about the long-term operations of the rink. I do want to clarify that the ice rink is safe. We would not have opened the facility if we had any safety concerns. But the equipment that we have has gone past its useful life. So we are at a crossroads with the equipment. The dasher boards after the season will no longer be usable. We have a chiller that's on its last legs. We have a Zamboni that's frankly on its last legs. It's just beyond its useful life. So we have a capital improvement need. And I completely agree with Commissioner Lehman's assessment of this. This is not to make money. If we can think like a business where we can, we should try to cover costs. Our entire department is in the red. We are not a mandated service. We're entirely subsidized by the general fund. But we do try to bring in revenue where we can to try to offset that impact to taxpayers and to the city. So we do need to try to be thoughtful as, if we can, while still providing a service. But we need to be thoughtful moving forward. We need to think about how we're going to pay for this capital improvement. We do not have it in the budget. We can't use Q18 money. We can't use our traditional sources of money. We can't use residential construction tax. We need to try to be creative and try to find, you know, a diversified way to fund this if we want it to move forward. We need to have sponsors. We need to have, you know, a lot of involvement from the community. If we want to have this continued community asset, we really need to come together as a community and try to fund the capital improvements needed. We're committed to continuing to operating the facility and increasing programming and increasing revenue, but we need to think about what the solution is going to be long term. So if you guys could think about that moving forward and try to help us come up with some solutions and potential partners, that's really the direction we need to take.
So then, yeah, just thinking off the top of my head, this is in the, like, downtown redevelopment district. I think at one point we tried to use redevelopment funds for this.
And redevelopment helped purchase the original equipment. They've contributed over the years to that. Their budget, though, their entire budget, doesn't even cover the capital costs for the entire project. So that could be a part of the solution and be part of the puzzle. So, and those are the kinds of things I think in a future discussion we need to think about, kind of that brainstorming.
Right. Different piecemeal funding options.
Exactly.
Then the other thought is, consistently on this commission, we go after grants. Is there any possible community grant for something like this?
We can look into that. I think this is probably something that might fit better with a private foundation rather than traditional grant funding sources. They typically don't like to cover equipment or non-fixed assets, but we could look into that.
Question, if we were to go with the synthetic ice, what's the lead time on ordering? If we ordered it, say now, would we get it in 6 weeks or would we get it tomorrow? So we could figure that into our planning for budget if we decide to go to that route.
Good question. I don't have the answer, but I'll definitely get back to them and ask that question.
So, I mean, just thinking about synthetic again, I'm just talking for myself. I think that traditional ice has the nostalgia and things like that. But if you're talking about no ice rink or a synthetic ice rink, yeah, synthetically better than nothing. I guess I'm more curious how long that, again, the traditional equipment would last, and then we could make a pretty good judgment call. So I'm hopeful we could, I mean, this obviously come back, but have it come back as an action item where we take some actions.
We can definitely do that. We can bring that back to you. We can try to get the answers to all the questions that you've brought up tonight for the next commission meeting. And hopefully we'll have some better options for you to possibly be able to direct staff to do some additional things or even go to the Board of Supervisors if that's your wish.
Vice Chair Lehman, I'm sorry, has a question for you.
Actually, it's a suggestion and a rather lengthy comment. I'm going to violate one of my rules, which is when you offer a suggestion or a solution, you have to be the first one willing to step up and assist with that. And this is, truthfully, I've never felt the ice skating rink as a personal pet project for me. Having said that, I do think it's very important to the community, and I have to believe that there are people in the community for which it is a pet project, for which they would be willing to step up and be part of a task force or some type of board that is willing to go out there and find ways, creative ways or traditional ways to save it. To assume that the Parks and Recreation Department has an incentive to save this is, and this is nothing against anyone in the Parks and Recreation Department, is really a misnomer on our part. It takes up a lot of your staff and time where if the ice skating rink wasn't there, you could be directing it elsewhere to more traditional functions that are more important or at least seen as more important to the functioning of our community. So the department itself has every incentive to A, not have the ice skating rink, or B, find a more simpler, cost-effective solution that requires less effort, even if it's not satisfactory to the community. And I'm not saying that that the artificial ice wouldn't be satisfactory. I'm just saying that I think we're putting it on, in the hands of the wrong people to try and save this. If the community really wants the ice skating rink here, people in the community, I think, need to step up and make it part of their mission, part of their goal, as all of us always do. When Carson, something is important to Carson City Little League, myself and other board members and other parents are the first ones to step up and find, how are we going to fund this? How are we going to make this happen? When it's track and field, I hear Sean, the same thing, stepping up, how are we going to fund this? How are we going to make this happen? I think it's important that we encourage the people who, for which the ice skating is important, for them to step up and form a committee, form a task force, and decide how are we going to make this happen, as well as investigating all of the options, which is having real ice, replacing the equipment, or seeing how we can fix the equipment so that we can make it work for another couple of seasons, to find, investigating the options of the synthetic ice as well. So I guess what I'm saying is that I'm putting a call out there to the community, for the people out there who, for the ice cream rink is important, to step up and get involved and be a part of this. Because if there is no one who can step up and be involved in this, I think it is again a mistake on our part to assume that the Parks and Recreation Department has any incentive at all to keep this going.
Thank you. Vice Chair, I think that's a great solution, and we want to be part of that effort and help lead that effort, but it does need to be a community solution. I do have a question, and I apologize for not knowing this. Is the Sierra Inline Hockey Group part of the U Sports Association? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. I thought you might. So that might be a way to help include this. If we have some user groups that would be interested in becoming part of that U Sports Association, the U Sports Association is fantastic, and they really help us with maintenance, capital investments, staffing costs. We charge them, we have an agreement with them, we charge them player fees, things like that. Maybe we could take that model that we're using at our fields and bring it to the ice rink. So that's something maybe we can look at before the next meeting to try to give you some other options, and that could be some potential other good community partner that would help garner that community interest in helping make this happen. So maybe we could look at the ice rink like it's a sports field, and it's another recreation amenity that, you know, is part of that Youth Sports Association. It might garner additional participation. I think that might be a way we could kind of spearhead that. So I do know you have, you know, your Girl Scout here, and this was supposed to be discussion only, but I want to make sure that, you know, we're going to have all your questions and be available to have it at the next meeting.
Okay, appreciate that. I believe Commissioner Curtis has.
Yeah, I was just going to say there's another model, too, and it's a disc golf. And the disc golf is under the Foundation for Parks and Recreation, which makes it a nonprofit entity, which means it can go out and fundraise, and everybody can give it money and take it off their taxes. And they don't have to form their own organization. They're under the arm of the Foundation for Parks. So if a group did want to form and did want to, you know, become a nonprofit entity, they could form under the foundation. We take care of all their money issues and everything else, and they just go out and try to earn money and get it going. So if we can find the groups that are interested, I don't know if there's any school groups that might be interested in this, but, you know, the inline hockey people, whoever, you know, there's another model besides the youth sports.
Commissioner Cassiopo?
I was just going to say, while we were talking about it, I just did a quick search, and I'm going to be in New York in February, and they have a synthetic ice rink in the Museum of Natural History. So guess where my daughter and I are going to go. we were going to skate at the, you know, the main rink in Rockefeller Center, but maybe we'll compare the two.
There you go.
So anyway, we'll go check it out, and I'll let you know what I think.
Just make sure it's Gleiss.
I don't know if it's Gleiss. But I know, I'll get a feel for what it feels like. I'm sure I'll land on it at least once.
Thanks for conducting our field research. Yeah.
There's one in Bermuda, too, and if you want to send me there, I'll go check that one out.
Mr. Lehman?
So I was just thinking, too, about disc golf, similar thing, but I think the costs are quite a bit bigger with the ice rink. But the other thing that came to my mind was, is speaking of track and field, the scoreboard over at the high school, that wasn't paid for by the district. That was over $100,000, and businesses in town, go look at the business names that are on that scoreboard. Not that they'd pony up again, but they did. And businesses, if there's some way to have them permanently advertised, some of the bigger players in town do come through if they recognize for that.
All right.
I was going to say the Aquatic Center has the same thing. There was a lot of businesses that were involved in putting some of those things in that center, as I understand it. So, yeah, it could be a whole community thing.
All right, so Jennifer, it'll be on our February agenda. All right, thanks so much. All right, let's change channels, and we're going to go back to agenda item. Oh, public comments on this? I'm sorry, thank you. All right, hearing none, we're changing the channels. And we're going to go back to agenda item 3B, presentation and discussion only on Gillian Mandel's Girl Scout Gold Award project at the city's Linear Park. Bern, you want to do the honors, please?
Thank you, Commission. For the record, Vern Cron, Senior Park Planner. Tonight, I am pleased to have the opportunity to introduce Gillian Mandel. She is a Girl Scout who is in the process of working on her Gold Award project. This would be one of, at least I've worked a lot with Boy Scouts over the years, but this is really my first Girl Scout project, so I'm kind of excited about that. She is handing out to you her presentation, and we have, of course, the presentation here as well. So, what's that?
What?
I'm sorry. We're ready to go.
Oh, you're ready to go.
Oh, absolutely.
All righty.
We're just.
It's not on the screen.
Oh, it's not on the screen yet.
No. What number are you?
Two. Hey, Mom. I'm assuming, Mom.
Yeah.
If you'd like to come up here and videotape, her face is probably better than the back of her head.
Although the back of my vest is pretty impressive.
That is impressive. That's right.
Thank you for thinking of that. That's a great offer.
Oh.
I have my flash drive if you need it.
Mom, if you want to come back,
I'm going to do your display thing. Oh, my okay. God, you're getting an honor, Mom.
All right.
Function. Nerd to the rescue.
And while we're waiting, why don't you tell us the correct pronunciation of your name, please?
My name is Gillian Mandel, like with a J, but not. It's with a G. It's the English way of spelling it. So, yeah. Are we ready? We're good.
Well, I'm certainly ready.
Yay! Okay. So this is my Gold Award project. I've been a Girl Scout for 10 years now. I am a sophomore at high school. I'm 15. I work at the pool as a lifeguard, and I just actually got back from teaching swim lessons. So this is Friends of the Linear Park. This path runs right by my house, and it means the world to me. I love this park. I take my dog with my mom for a walk every day. And we always see trash and, you know, icky things, like stuff you never want to see in a wildlife preserve, this is what it's called, I guess. And, you know, it just kind of breaks my heart that people don't stop and pick it up and, you know, put it in their pocket and throw it away. So my kind of solution to this would be putting out a trash bin out there. So if people see trash, they can pick it up, stick it in their pocket, and then there's the halfway point where they can just throw it in the trash can. This goes for dog poop, too, because people don't pick up their dog poop. And it's like, I don't want to step in your dog poop, thank you very much. So having a trash can out there just would make life so much better. Also, along with garbage bins, I wanted to place a bench at a halfway point along with the garbage bin The bench is for people who can't make it all the way and need to take a break or just want to sit there and watch the sunset, because there's no big buildings out there, so you can just look at the mountains and see a beautiful sunset. So it's just kind of there for people who need it and for people who are just, you know, taking a moment and breathing and, you know, letting life do its thing. And along with this, I wanted to place 3 or 4, maybe 5 raptor poles out there. So there are hawks and falcons and eagles and, you know, really awesome, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous birds that, you know, fly around, but there's nowhere to land because they land up in the neighbor's tree. So if there's some, you know, raptor poles out there, sticking a couple of those out there would be awesome, because just watching the birds is great. It's so much fun. And on the front of your packet, there's 2 egrets that were out in the field, and I wanted to share that picture because Mom took that picture. It's wonderful. And, oh yes, along with that, as you can see, Boy Scouts put those signs out for the California trails. So I wanted to see if I could look into getting signs kind of like that, or replicate those signs with the different types of wildlife that's out there, the different kind of plants, the, you know, birds, and you know what I mean? The information boards, how long the trail is, you know, information about the path, excuse me. So, as we move right along, the long-term effects. I would like to proceed this project because I feel that, you know, it will help your two friends. You're a couple slides ahead. There we go. It will prompt people to throw away their trash and do the earth a favor and, you know, not litter it. And the bench for, you know, people to sit and enjoy life. Move on. So my diabolical scheme that isn't really diabolical, I plan to have in the fall a linear park cleanup, which would clean up all the trash that gets washed in there, clean out the nasty, gunky stuff that's in there that is not natural. I, you know, plan to put the benches in, the garbage bin, the raptor poles, and the information board. And by doing this, I know lots of groups in the community, the school. I talked with the welding teacher a couple weeks ago and, you know, brought up the idea of helping me and having the high school participate in this activity, because I know people need volunteer hours and, you know, this kind of just goes together. So to raise money for my project, I plan to go and pitch my plan to clubs and groups in the community and have my mother join, because as a Girl Scout, I cannot ask for money donations. I can ask for tools and help, but I can't ask for donations. So Mom would come and say, hey, if you wouldn't mind donating $5 to this project, it would be greatly appreciated. Yes, because I can't be my... yeah, because I can ask for everything else in the world except for money. Also, I was planning on reaching out to, like, Home Depot, Lowe's, seeing if we can get equipment either donated or, you know, rentals that would be at a discount for, you know, equipment that we need. And I noted that I chatted with the welding teacher, Mr. Shirley. So, yeah, that's my... hopefully plan. Costs, the estimated prices will be adjusted according to how things roll. So the bench that will be purchased through the Parks and Rec District Department. And that's going to cost $1,200. I'll be needing some 6-inch metal T-posts, which will be $20, depending on how many more we need. Raptor poles, it could be as a combined 3 raptor poles will be roughly $250 unless I can get supplies donated, which I really hope I can. And then the information boards will vary depending on what I want and how it needs to be. So for the cleanup event, I wanted to, you know, make it so that they're not just like, oh, I have to go clean up garbage. I wanted to make it fun. So I was going to sell food and water from Costco. Next slide. There we go. I was going to sell food and water so people can, you know, help clean up the earth and be nourished at the same time. Printing costs for flyers, for, you know, whatever else needs to be printed is a combination between the banner that I wanted to put out there because it's beautiful. Printing costs for that stuff is like $200 roughly. And I really wanted to make T-shirts. Whether or not this is going to happen, I don't know. I wanted to make T-shirts for the volunteers who come out and, you know, help clean up this park because, you know, I went out there, oh, how old was I? I was like 10. And I went out there for a spring Earth Day cleanup, and they gave out T-shirts. And I loved that T-shirt. I wore it all the time, and then I got too big for it. So I'm like, I want to give someone a piece of my project that they can wear for the rest of their life. So this total is going to be about $4,000, roughly. So I'd like to raise $5,000 and then give the money to the department to put in a bench somewhere or clean up somewhere else or, you know, do the what you need with the money. So any comments, concerns, questions?
Well, thank you so much for your presentation. I think you're the first Girl Scout we've had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And is the gold medal award similar to the Boy Scouts Eagle?
Yes, it is the highest award a Girl Scout can earn.
Excellent. One comment, I think instead of charging for the food, that if you could find somebody to donate it and you gave it away, you'd get more volunteers because people will always work for food.
Good thinking. Yeah.
Are there any questions or comments, Commissioner Cassiopo?
Both. One on the raptor poles. Yes. How tall would a raptor pole be?
I didn't bring my design. Darn it. They are 22-foot poles.
Okay.
Yeah. So they go 6 feet into the ground. So that leaves the rest of it up into the air, and it's a foot long, maybe a foot and a half, T post, basically. And then the birds perch on top and do that thing.
And my comment is on the printing cost, if you have flyers and whatnot, if you can get hold of me through Parks or I can give you a card, well, I'd be happy through my firm to cover any printing costs you have. We could print them right at my office.
Whoa, thank you. Wow.
We would be happy to help advertise it on the website and on our social media account as well.
Ooh,
so we can hopefully get
some
participation there.
So you just have to ask.
That's why I'm here.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yeah, I actually was involved in a cleanup on the Linear Park years ago, and I'm thinking it was with Muscle Powered. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But be sure to get in touch with them.
Oh, yeah. My neighbor is the president of Muscle Powered,
okay.
So we're already in the
group. All right.
Group.
Is it Donna still Donna? Or?
It's Kelly Clark.
Oh, Kelly Clark. Okay, Kelly Clark. I know her, too. But anyway, yeah, get their help and their ideas.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they can give you a lot of support.
They will, yeah.
Any other questions? I won't ignore you this time.
It's exciting when people like yourself and Alex come in here with projects for the community, and I just want to say that your passion for this is infectious, and it's really exciting to see. And this is exactly what I was talking about when we were just discussing the ice skating rink. I know there are others out there like you for their own projects, and again, for you to come up here with an example is really joyful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, exactly. Thank you so much for your patience while we were doing the ice skate.
It's okay. I was afraid I was going to be late because I was at work, and I'm like, I got to shower. I got to change. So it's okay.
No, you were fine. I would just say that would you keep Vern and through Vern us involved and let us know if we can help in any way?
You've got it. Okay.
Commissioner?
One last question. It's the fall of next year, I'm assuming?
That's the goal.
Okay.
That is the ultimate goal, because once I turn 18 and I finish high school, I've got till that October to get this whole project done. So I really want to get this done before that, so I could potentially make it bigger and use it for my senior project as well. Thank you.
Other questions, comments? All right. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for letting me come up here and give my spiel. All righty. I don't know if you want
any public comment on this?
Use it as fire starters. Do what you want with it.
All right. I don't hear any public comment on this item. So let's go back to agenda item 4C. Discussion only on the multi-purpose athletic center's temporary asphalt grinding parking lot project. This is Jennifer and Vern.
I'll take the lead on this, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, Vern Cron, Carson City Senior Park Planner. At the last meeting, which was our meeting in October, this discussion item generated a little bit of discussion, and so the commission asked me to bring back some additional information related to the project. And so we've done that this evening. Just for the folks who might be viewing at home, what has happened over the course of time is some project background for everybody is that during the final stages in developing the multi-purpose athletic center, we call it the MAC, the landscaping, turf, trees, and spray irrigation systems and the adjacent sidewalks on the backside of the MAC were removed from the project because we were trying to keep the project within budget. It's called, if you want a fancy name for it, it's called value engineering. And so that's what was done. As the project moved forward, we realized that we still have to do this. This is a part of our special use permit, and also this whole area has to be dealt with regarding our building permit as well. So this had to be addressed in some manner, shape, or form. We were originally, back in May, the idea was to go with the original plan. The original plan was to put an irrigation system out there, some trees, and put in the sidewalks. We put together some plans and went out and got quotes. As I mentioned in the staff report, the quotes exceeded the available budget, which was identified as $44,848. But this is the situation that we needed to address. Planning would not close our special use permit or our building permit unless we addressed and dealt with this in some manner, shape, or form out back. One of the other things that became readily apparent as the MAC opened is that the MAC really has really a used facility. It's overwhelmingly popular. And what was happening, again, over time, people were starting to use this back dirt area as a de facto parking lot. When there was opportunities for our tournaments and some of the other things, we opened the gates and let people drive back there. You can see some of the, actually you can even see in the slide some of the tracks that were left from people driving around back there. This area presented a dust problem for the adjacent neighbors. It also became a mud source for the project getting out onto the existing asphalt, both onto our parking lot as well as the boys and girls parking lot. So just another couple shots of what it looked like back in May. So anyway, moving forward from there, the idea was to move forward with asphalt grindings, to try to overlay that area. Because with going back to the original idea of turf and concrete, we were running into quotes ranging anywhere from $85,000 and change up to $72,000 and change to do that. So anyway, so we couldn't make it work from a budget standpoint that way, so we worked with an idea of a plan B, not only from a cost perspective, but also from a use perspective. We just really needed to have some overflow parking during special events, so that's kind of the direction we went. One of the nice things about this particular aspect of the project that the grindings were free to us, so that worked out really well. Those grindings came off the I-580 project They did a lot of grinding down there, grinding off surfaces, and so we were, Public Works specifically was recipient of these excess asphalt grindings, and so we wanted to use this as a source of no cost to our project specifically. Anyway, moving forward, we requested five bids. We went out and looked at five contractors to do the work for us. We received three bids back. RMAC, Joe, you might be familiar with RMAC. They were the low bidders at $56,348.90. They've done a great job for us out there. We were out there on our final project walkthrough actually today. Mr. Brunner here was out there freezing with us as we were out there. So we were doing well. He wasn't dressed as fancy, though. He didn't have his tie on or his suit coat on, but he was out there with us. What's that?
He got dressed up for us.
He got dressed up for you guys tonight. So anyway, that was kind of the idea. We had two change orders on the project. One of the gate you can see in the picture back over here, without a gate to hold it in place during windy days, would swing around, and that became a public safety issue. And we also had a change order for a traffic-rated concrete box. A lot of movement happens back in this area, and we were running into a situation where our existing concrete or our existing plastic irrigation box just wasn't handling the traffic. It was getting pretty well crushed. So anyway, so that's where we were. The funding came from two sources. Well, it came from Question 18. One was the parks capital side. The other was the maintenance side of it, for a total project construction budget of $59,844. And we were under that budget when you look at the total project construction cost. It was at $58,032.90. So we were under the available budget for this project as well. We realize this is a temporary solution. One of the things in working with community development to close out the project, this area is a temporary solution. The community development is looking at this as a placeholder, for lack of a better thing, for any kind of future expansion we might do, whether it's expansion of the building, whether it's building a standard parking lot out there, or whether it's some other combination of maybe a playground, maybe some other things. They're viewing this as a placeholder, and it solves the dust problem. So they were reasonably comfortable with letting us close out the project with this solution. We have received that closeout notification on both the building permit as well as the special use permit the other day from Kathy Green. So having said all that, we will be looking forward to trying to figure out ways to fund a compliant parking lot as we move forward. So I'm not sure there's anything else we need to, at least I need to share. I'm certainly open to questions. Jen, did you want to add anything to this discussion?
Sure. Thank you so much, Vern. Madam Chair, Commissioners, Jennifer Budge, Parks and Recreation Director. I did want to just kind of echo Vern's comments. This is a temporary solution. We fully recognize that. Obviously, it's a very expensive temporary solution, but it fills a great need. It's not just during special events that we need this overflow lot. It's added an additional 93 spots to the facility. If you go out there Monday through Friday nights just with regular league use, we were having a lot of negative impacts to the surrounding neighborhood. So this helps create additional parking, reduce the impacts to our neighbors trying to be a good neighbor. We have a really good problem here. The facility is really heavily being used, and we're underparked, as most contractors would call it. And we needed to try to find a way to make a solution. This is not a permanent solution. We fully get that. We're going to have to find a way to, as Vern says, you know, do those permanent improvements. And it's very costly. The capital improvements are in excess of $300,000. So we have to find a way, whether it's grants, foundations, maybe a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club for a joint application, because this could be shared use for their facility. They have parking issues as well. Maybe this could help assist them. We do have a joint use agreement with the Boys and Girls Club as a long-term solution. But we do recognize this is temporary. It helps us, though, moving forward and trying to figure out exactly what we need. It gives us, instead of just a dirt lot that's creating dust and a muddy mess, it formalizes parking so people aren't parking all over the place, where if they didn't have lines and sort of structure and direction, we would maybe get, you know, 50 cars there instead of 93. So we want this to last a long time. We're going to institute some operational procedures to try to get the best use and the long use out of this facility. We will be closing the gates when we don't have the need to use the parking lot to preserve it. We will not be plowing it. That will create additional wear and tear. We have some additional operational things that we're going to try to do and build into some maintenance of this facility into our budget so we can get the most out of this temporary lot. But while recognizing we need to build into our capital improvement plan, you know, a full construction of a standard parking lot.
Thank you so much. Any questions or concerns? Commissioner Lehman?
So you answered one question. You'll close the gates when it's not needed. And then another question is, since these are grindings, what is the lifespan on this? It seems like traffic would start to tear up the lines and move things around.
No, that's a very good question. And what we'll be looking at, as Jen alluded to, was that when we start putting together the maintenance budgets for the MAC, this is something we're going to want to do. We're going to want to figure in some budgets to be able to come back in probably every year and restripe this. You know, we are going to probably have to do some rolling. We've been out there already taking like a big heavy roller that they would roll this again to compact it, because even with the grindings, it's basically just gravel. I mean, that's really what it is. And as you move vehicles around in it, you're going to have surface movement of the gravel or grindings, the material around when people, you know, turn their wheels on it and do those kind of things. And that's something we're going to have to figure in to our maintenance budget. So as we move forward with the budget cycle for next year, don't be surprised if you see some monies, you know, figuring in for that. I've asked the contractor who did a great job for us, RMAC did a great job for us, to give us some prices related to, you know, restriping, doing some other types of things that would help us get longer use out of that parking lot. So that's kind of that's the plan.
So there's a reasonable chance that these lines are going to move and smear around, per se.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes. That's why I went out and took the picture exactly the day after they got done.
Commissioner Curtis?
Yes, I have a couple of things. One, I think I mentioned this the last time. I can't remember what the anniversary is of the MAC opening, but we talked about having a usage report back whenever that is. Is that coming up soon?
Thank you, Commissioner Curtis. Jennifer Budge again. So that kind of leads into agenda item number 6, where I was going to lead into that. But I would love to come back and give you a snapshot of the year in the MAC, and maybe at our next commission meeting, because that's right after our year anniversary of the MAC, and talk about the use and our partnership with the Boys and Girls Club and all of the activities that we have and the opportunities moving forward. So I would love to have that back at the next agenda.
Okay. And then the second thing, I just want to put you all on notice that I am listening very carefully to conversation with the president-elect when he mentioned $3 billion worth of infrastructure. And if that happens, when this was going on before, when we had the infrastructure projects, we were talking about those that were shovel-ready. And as I understand it, the extension of this MAC into a recreation center is a shovel-ready project. So I would like us to be ready to get our application in to do that if that should come around. And I'm not dreaming. I mean, this could happen. So if he's going to dream, I'm going to dream with him for a change. And anyway, I'm still looking for opportunities to building a recreation center out there. So just want to let you know.
Thank you, Commissioner Curtis. I do want to clarify. So the next phase of the MAC has not been designed. It's more of in a conceptual nature. So I don't know if it's truly shovel ready, but if there was an opportunity for funding, we are definitely willing to, you know, apply for it and take it off their hands.
Commissioner Cassiopo.
Yeah, Vern, I just wanted to thank you for bringing it back and showing us what you did. My original concern last time we met was drainage and permitting and things like that. And just to give kudos to the department, with the grindings out there, you're not going to have a big drainage concern like you would if it was all asphalt. We use grindings a lot, Sean. It's a good temporary solution. It can move around a little bit, and that's okay. And when it comes time for maybe a permanent, if you will, parking lot out there, it's not really money completely lost, because the grindings now become base material, and you can supplement it and then pave on top of it. So it you know, it's not $40,000, $50,000, or $56,000 of lost money by any means.
And Commissioner Cassioppo, you're very right on that, and I'm glad you brought up that point. Yes, there are ways, and when we did do some rough cost estimates that Jen was referring to regarding this, that was the whole idea. We would take those grindings, we would mix it into the base, we would do whatever into the existing soil so it would create a base for the new asphalt parking lot. So that is correct. That is what the intent is at this particular point. Also, just quickly to address, you know, your concern the last time regarding water quality as well as the treatment and water running off the site. What it does by having the surface, it drains from northwest to southwest, so it works really well. We used to have a big, kind of a big mud hole, for lack of a better term, down here. But what happens is the water drains. There's a concrete swale that catches it. It goes over, goes out onto the field for a water quality treatment and dropping of sediment load, and then the water would then drain off to the southeast corner of the Boys and Girls Club turf area into the drainage system to take it out onto the freeway. So even when we move again toward the idea of a permanent solution out here, we've got some fairly strong water quality treatment and water quality aspects already designed into the project.
Any other questions or comments? Right. Jennifer, thank you so much. Very informational. Is there any public comment? Hearing no public comment, let's move on to 4D. Non-substantive, ooh, what a word, update regarding departmental strategic planning, organizational structure, and recruitment for vacant positions. Jennifer, I believe this is you.
Thank you so much. I think we can thank Ms. Yao for that that word. I can't say it either, so I won't try to repeat it. I just wanted to give you a brief update and thank Commissioner Kiever for participating in our strategic planning so far. We're still going heavily in that process. We're involving every staff member, the managers, the commission chairs of all of our boards and commissions that support our department, and we're actively doing that. I'll have a more formal presentation, hopefully, for you at the next meeting, but I just want you to know that we're still moving forward with our strategic planning. It's been a great process. It's been a good way to bring the staff together and make sure everybody's on the same page. So we'll have a more formal presentation for you at the next one, but I just wanted you to know that that continues, and to thank Chairwoman Kiefer for helping us with that as well. And then I did want to just give you a few updates on staff vacancies and recruitment and all of that, and to thank, obviously, Chairwoman Kiefer again for sitting on our panel. We had an interview for and selection for a recreation superintendent. So we did a little bit of a reorganization of the recreation division, and in February I'll give you a full overview of that with the strategic planning. But to give some more structure, some succession planning, and to increase communication in the recreation division, we created a new position from that used to be a recreation program manager position, retitled that, and we'll be doing a reclassification through the budget process to a recreation superintendent. And we did go through a national selection. We had over 45 applicants. And we will be hiring Dan Earp. He's going to be coming from Humiston, Oregon, and he'll be starting January 9th, and I'll introduce him at the next board meeting. Yeah, so he's great. I think you'll really enjoy him. He'll be a great addition to the staff. We still have the recreation program supervisor position open. We'll be advertising that any day now. And so Dan will lead our effort in selecting that person and, you know, starting to select his team and building his team up. And then we do have a senior natural resource specialist position recently vacated, and then we'll be advertising that hopefully starting next week.
Any commissioner comments or questions? All right. Thank you so much for that report, Jennifer. We appreciate it. Any public comments? All right. Moving on. Let's go to members' announcements and requests for information. Does anybody have any requests? Commissioner Cassioppo, Commissioner Curtis.
Yes. Commissioner Curtis. Yeah, it's something I mentioned, Jen. I was wondering if it would be possible to try to marry the foundation a little bit closer to this, the Parks Department and what's going on, and maybe under that item have a report from school board liaison and a report from foundation so that we could do an update of if we're doing something. I'm just trying
good
to
idea.
Do everything I can, and I think we're all as a board trying to do everything we can to get ourselves out there. I know it's still going to be several months before we're fully fledged and going, but I think this is a process that maybe will help, you know, get us out there. Oh, by the way, the foundation's doing blah. And so if we could just kind of put it on the agenda, and if we don't have anything to say, well, we won't.
We'd be happy to make that a standing item.
Commissioner Cassioppo?
I don't have an update for the school board this time. We've been spending a lot of our time talking about budgets and testing and results and nothing to do with outdoor fun stuff. So I would like to mention to Vern with Jillian who came up here. I'm glad she mentioned wanting to talk to the high school welding teacher to get some assistance. If for some reason they can't accommodate that, and I think they probably can. I had a great meeting. I did a tour of the CTE facility up at WNC, and the welding department up there said they're looking for opportunities like this. So if one stone doesn't work, that's another stone that she can look at.
I just have an announcement or just a comment. I noticed on Carson Now today that we've opened up a warming station out at Fuji Park. Good job. Kudos to all involved. I think it's valuable and we need it this time of year.
Thank you, Chairwoman. Just so the public is aware and everybody in this room, we do open up Fuji Park Exhibit Hall when the Nevada Appeal publishes anticipated temperatures of 15 degrees or less. So anybody that doesn't have a home or doesn't have the ability to have heat, maybe you're in a travel trailer that doesn't have any weather or any heating ability as you're traveling through town, we do provide that. There's cots available. We have a lot of Fish as our local partner. They help provide services, so we do open up that facility free of charge for people to get out of the weather.
Excellent. Thank you so much for doing that and for working with Fish and the other agencies. Commissioner Glenn?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thanks to Steve and Dan Cassens, and I don't know Lane's last name, but Lane. The Little League met with Parks and Rec Department, I guess it was a week and a half ago, just to talk about the condition of Governor's Fields and some improvements we were hoping to work on as a joint effort and things that were doable, things that weren't doable. And it was really a nice collaborative meeting, and I just want to thank them for taking the time to come out and meeting with us and being so supportive and understanding of our concerns, as well as pointing out certain things that we wanted to see which were unlikely to happen for logistical or cost reasons. So thanks very much.
All right. Let's move on to future agenda items. Donna, we've got your future agenda item for the Parks Foundation, and
you want. Oh, it's going to be a standing item.
Okay, but we've taken care of that. Yeah. Anybody else have any standing future agenda item requests? I do. I went to the open house at the Silver Saddle Ranch on Saturday. First off, the Friends of the Silver Saddle Ranch. They're in love with Ann Bullinger and the park ranger. They had nothing but good to say about both of them. I met the new park ranger. He seems very nice and really seems to be enjoying his job. So thumbs up to both of them. And the Friends of the Silver Saddle Ranch are wondering if they could have maybe 15, 20 minutes at our February meeting. They want to come tell us what they're doing, show us pictures, and maybe share their dreams of what the ranch could be in the future. So I told them that we could probably give them 10 or 15 minutes. So I don't know if that's something your department wants to organize or if I should be in touch with them or how that would work.
We're happy to contact them, and we'll get that on the next agenda.
Thank you so much. Commissioner Lehman?
Several meetings back, we talked about trails, and we're going to do like a trail inventory and the condition of the trails, and I'm wondering if we're going to have the results of that at some point.
So previously we talked about a lot of different inventories and condition index that we want to conduct, and we're just about to kick that off. We needed to wait till the ice rink was constructed, and we have obviously limited resources. So I'm meeting this week with our park operations manager, Dave Navarro, and he's going to be assisting me. We're mirroring an effort that's actually happening in the Facilities Division of Public Works. They're doing the same thing on every city building, looking at every aspect of every city building, the heating and cooling system, you know, any fixed assets in there. We're going to do that same process for all of our parks. We're going to start park by park, look at the irrigation system, playgrounds, turf, you name it, whatever happens, every single park we're going to start going through and doing an asset inventory and assigning a condition index or a code for each piece of asset that we have at our parks. So we can have bring that back to you and say, look, these are our top priorities. These are safety issues that we discovered, and this is hopefully going to lead into our budget process. So we will start with the parks first, and then we'll probably get into trails later. But that is on our radar to be able to do that. That's something we might be able to also partner with Muscle Powered and some other organizations in the community to help do an inventory of our trail system, GPS those trails, and turn that into a trails map, a guide, and other resources available for the public.
Slightly off topic, but a lot of these trails are in our parks, but like, does the Parks Department maintain the trail, like along the new freeway? That's not a park, or is that open space? Who does that?
We have trails in parks, we have trails in open space, and then we have cooperative agreements for maintenance of trails as well. So we do have a cooperative agreement with Muscle Powered, so they help construct and maintain a lot of our natural surface trails. But if it's a paved trail or a concrete trail, those are considered our assets. So they're things that we ultimately have to fund replacement or improvements to. So eventually all of those things will be on our asset inventory. But it will take, I just want to caution you, it's going to take a lot of time to gather all this information. But we'll try to bring it to you as we collect that.
Commissioner Curtis?
And can I go back to Silver Saddle Ranch? And pardon me if I'm having memory issues here, but I remember some months ago that there was a team of us that worked in putting together a grant application. And Vern, I think you were involved in this. It was for the SNPLA grant. Remember this? I don't know whatever happened with that, but that was where we were going to try to put together a plan, which included Silver Saddle.
We're in the final stages of that, and we're one of the top-ranking projects. So it just hasn't been awarded, but we can make sure that we let you know.
Okay, so maybe along with whatever the Friends of Silver Saddle have in mind, I certainly would like to see them do this. I don't want to see them do anything like this.
No, so and they actively work with Ann Bollinger, who would actually lead that effort. So,
okay,
yeah,
all right.
They're talking.
Oh, good. Thank you.
No more future agenda items. What is item A and B, Park Facility Program of the Month and Park Activity Reports? Jennifer, is this you?
That's me. It's, you know, and I'd be happy to talk about these together. I wanted to just get some feedback from you on what you would like to see in future agendas. And one thing that I thought that might be helpful, because we can't always get out in the field and see parks and help kind of in a response to some of the emails that you've all sent me over the last 6 months, is maybe every commission meeting we have a park, a facility, or a program of the month that we highlight. And I thought we could kick it off with the MAC, and that would be the, you know, the project of the month. And we could go over the history of that site, how we funded it, you know, what's going well, what are the operational issues, you know, what do we need moving forward, and then we could just pick something based on your direction every month, and that way, you know, at least you'd have six parks or projects or programs a year that you would really get some in-depth knowledge about. And I'm just talking like a 5 or 10 minute presentation. It wouldn't take too much of your time, but I just thought I'd entertain that idea. And then I also wanted to see if it would be helpful for you if maybe we had reports from our park rangers or some of our field staff, and, you know, maybe Steve and I could just take, I don't want to create too much work for staff, but some snapshots of what the operational challenges are and what our staff are doing out in the field, and you could just have it in your packet for reference, and then if you had any questions. But I just want to try to arm you guys with information and to kind of in response to those emails that you've sent me over the last 6 months about how we're operating the department.
Yeah, just okay, on the first item, how would you be getting from us in terms of where we want to discuss things? Are you going to say, okay, for the next meeting, we want to talk about a park?
Ross Gold.
Yeah, if you have parks or projects in mind, it can be both ways. That you can either, you know, give me direction on that, or if, you know, there's not anything on your mind, we can come up with something and put it together. But I'm just thinking like a brief PowerPoint presentation, and just to give you some background, and a great way to bring in some different staff that, you know, are sort of the owner of that program and really have some passion about it, and that way you can get to know some of the other staff as well.
Would it be, I'm thinking of the park in my neighborhood and how we've been talking about getting together as a neighborhood. I mean, would it be, say, a thought that we would invite the neighbors to come? And
sure.
If we're talking about this.
Yeah, we could. And
if
it's
we're
really
talking about this park and say, hey, you want to talk about that lack of restroom there, come on in.
Yeah, and that would be a great way to do it. I'm not looking at doing public noticing or anything, just keeping it light, but just trying to be able to educate you on our park system and what we have available and what the staff goes through, and maybe get some other people to come do some presentations so you don't get sick of Steve, Vern, and I.
Okay. And,
but I think for the next month, you know, next meeting we'll do the MAC, and then just think about other ones you might want to request, and let me know at the next meeting, and we'll get those ready for you.
Yeah, great idea. Thank you so much. Any comments or questions? All right, Jennifer, Vern, thank you so much for these two items, and we look forward to the inaugural report, if you will.
Thank you.
Another big word for the evening. Let's move on to public comments. Is there any public comment? I think not. Vern? You don't want?
I only have one comment for
Vern. Okay. Vern has a comment. Okay.
Just one last comment is I'm going to have to step up my tie game after seeing Mr. Steve's tie. even though I'm known for my ties, I think he's outdone me tonight, so I'm going to have to step that up. So.
All right. We'll wait till February and see what both of you can come for. Yeah.
I wanted to just say I like the new look of the Parks and Rec Department.
Yeah.
You guys have just raised the bar.
Exactly.
I'm feeling a little underdressed.
All right. If there's no further business, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
All right. We're adjourned.